It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. When David Paco Peña Medina was little, his family moved from Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, to the United States in search of opportunity. His dad, a mechanical engineer, was able to find work in Clarence, Iowa. When David was in sixth grade, the family moved to Des Moines. In high school, Medina felt isolated. He knew about his immigration status, but he also felt like maybe he was the only one dealing with the challenges that dreamers face. He started a group for kids like him, Los Busca Metas. That means the goal seekers. And for his work, he is now the recipient of the ACLU of Iowa's Robert Mannheimer Youth Advocacy Award. He's also now a student at Iowa State University, and he's on the line with me. Hello, David.
Hey, what's up, Charity?
Oh, thank you. Great. Thank you so much for being here today. And first of all, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's definitely an honor to have gotten the award.
Now, there are, of course, immigrants who came to the United States as children, who came with their parents, who don't have documentation and don't know about their immigration status until they turn 16 or so. You had an understanding of your documentation as a child. When do you remember understanding it and what it meant?
Oh, yeah. So it was probably in kindergarten that, I consciously remember, understanding that I didn't particularly belong there, right? And, it wasn't exactly, I wasn't thinking, immigration is going to come, and, I had this, huge understanding. It was more like, I know that if I tell people that I'm from Mexico, that, people are going to be upset. That's what I understood in kindergarten.
Wow.
And so, there were a lot of, a lot of questions, as I was a child. And, growing up, even further, going into middle school, it definitely hit me that, my life could go away. My parents, they could, be deported, or I could be deported. And, my life is, always hanging by a thread just because of my status. And that's definitely something that I understood going into middle school. To its full capacity, and definitely something that, hung my head heavy as I was, going to school every day.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And when you were living, before you moved to Des Moines, you were living in Clarence, Iowa, which is a very, very small town, less than 1,000 people in Clarence. What was that like for you? Were there other immigrants in the community?
No, it was definitely a very small white town. I remember, some students would actually think that I was black, right? Because they hadn't seen other black people there before. And so, I'm very, light colored. So I think that was something that was very surprising for me. And, there was definitely no one else there that was like me. No, not at all. And I had my friends, right? But there was no way that they could understand, especially at our age. But just even if I had continued there, there was no way that they would be able to understand the things that I would go through, right? Being undocumented, being Latino, there's just a lot of, it's a very interesting experience. Having lived in rural Iowa, being so different from everyone else.
Moving to Des Moines when you were in sixth grade, did that change your feelings? Did you feel like there were more people who looked like you or had similar backgrounds?
100%. I remember when I had moved there. So I went to Brody Middle School, right? And immediately there were other people of color students there. And I was wow, this is amazing. There are other people like me. And immediately felt attached, a kinship to the other students there, because I knew that at least they had some understanding of what we're going through. And I didn't know anyone that was undocumented, and I didn't think anyone else there was undocumented, but at least they understood what it felt like, to be Latino or, slightly different from, most people.
Right. Well, and even in high school, you felt isolated because of your undocumented status. What that led you to reach out? What did you try to do to reach out and talk to people about it?
So in high school, like, I realized that I really wanted to go to college. And so the first step for me, what I saw at the time, I went to go speak to my counselor, and I told them about my status. And I asked, you know, what can we do? And they weren't exactly, I don't know, well-equipped to, like, help me in any way. And so that was my freshman year that I go and I tell them about this, right? And they weren't able to do much about it. And so, you know, I just kept on going through school. And I ended up joining this one nonprofit called Al Éxito. And that's a statewide nonprofit. And it's meant to help, like, Latino students, you know, across Iowa, you know, reach academic success. And that's where I met the first undocumented person that, like, I don't know, fit my definition of success. And, like, that just, like, really blew my mind. Like, they had gone to college. They had, you know, gotten their degree, and now they're using their education to better their community. Right now I'm talking about Monica Reyes of Dream Iowa. And, like, that was really, really something. I met her my senior year of high school. And so it wasn't until then that I had really, like, felt, you know, a community of undocumented students, because, like, it was then that I had started Los Buscametas. And, you know, it's the same way that I had gone to the counselor when I was a freshman talking about my status. Other students had done the exact same thing. And we just didn't know. Like, I didn't know that there were other students at my high school dealing with the exact same thing. And so that's why my senior year, when I had reached out to my counselors again, it was at that point, it had just been about organizing, you know, a small community of undocumented students that, you know, want to, you know, figure out how to, you know, feel safer at their high school.
Well, I can imagine that people don't talk about their undocumented status. I mean, that's a secret. So when you started this group and students started connecting with you, was there some fear?
Definitely, 100%. Even while we were, like, in the group, there were some students saying that, like, they weren't sure if they were even going to come because, you know, sometimes, like, when these things are, like, you know, even at a school, like, if they're being told, like, hey, you know, there's this thing going on for you, right, and, you know, you're undocumented, you feel like it might be a trap of some sort.
Yeah.
Because, like, those sort of things happen, right? So it took a lot of bravery for all of these students. There were, like, 20 students in the group.
When you came together, how did that change life for you to have this community?
I would say that it felt really fulfilling because you, you know, except for my family, and, you know, it's not something that we really talked about, you know, being undocumented, but, like, going to school and then having this group, it felt very fulfilling because you could just, like, you know, talk about these things that are happening to you. And it wasn't like they were, like, you know, empathizing or anything. The struggles that, you know, that I went through, they understood too, like the struggles of not having a driver's license, you know, getting asked if, you know, who you're going to be voting for. And, you know, all these different struggles, you know, with, you know, getting a social security number, anything like that, right? You know, they understood how hard it was to be undocumented because they were undocumented. And it just felt so different, you know, being in a room with people that were just like you. And it felt amazing. And I know that they felt it too because, yeah, you know, we talked about it.
So you also, this was your senior year in high school, and you wanted to make sure that students coming up behind you had this opportunity as well. It's kind of hard to make sure that a group that you just founded continues after you go. What did you do to try to ensure the future of the group?
So after we had, like, a ton of meetings, right, you know, a lot of get-togethers and, you know, a lot of fun together, we had a, you know, scheduled meeting with the admins at my school, and we just put together, me and the other seniors put together a presentation about, like, the benefits of the group, like, exactly what we were doing, right, and how it impacted the students that we were, you know, that were a part of the group. And by the end of that presentation, like, we had the admins, like, you know, crying, like tearing up. And we were crying too. It was a very emotional meeting. And they had promised us that, you know, going forward, that undocumented students are going to be, you know, be better served. And, you know, that we shouldn't worry that going into the future, that things are going to be better.
Wow. And you mentioned that you really wanted to go to college. That's really tough for someone without documentation for a lot of different reasons. How did you deal with that? You're a first-year student at Iowa State University. You're studying actuarial science. How did you get there?
So I definitely agree with you that it's very tough for a lot of different reasons. You know, being undocumented, sometimes it's hard to see the value in education because you're not sure that you can get a job in anything that you study for. But, you know, despite that, I, you know, persevered. I knew, like, my parents always told me, you know, we're here. You know, you're going to get an education. And, you know, it's very, very often, okay, from, you know, immigrant parents, you know, from Mexico that, like, you know, they come here for a better life. And part of that means that I'm here to go to college and get an education, right? And so that was just something that I always knew I had to do. And so, you know, I always tried, you know, very hard in school. And so I took a lot of AP classes and a lot of dual credit classes. And so I was able to, you know, go to college right now, you know, already as a sophomore, thanks to all the credit that I got in high school. And it's just had a lot of support from a lot of different programs like Science Bound. That's an Iowa State program. And Alexito, like they definitely pushed me to, you know, go to college. And like being here now and, you know, doing well, it's definitely very, you know, satisfying to see that, like, you know, I can do it. And I'm really, I think it's even more like fulfilling the fact that, like, now that I'm here and like I'm showing that, you know, undocumented students can do it, you know, and it's being publicized like this, it's very fulfilling because I can, you know, the younger undocumented students that I know are out there, they're going to be able to see this and be like, I can do it too.
They can see themselves in you. And you've also been working to help Dreamers at Iowa State connect with each other. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I knew as soon as I got onto campus, I had actually started planning to start this group, you know, the summer before the semester started. And, like, I knew that, you know, other undocumented students have passed through Iowa State and been successful. And that's why I knew that when I got here, that there would be other undocumented students and that they probably didn't have the community that I had when I was in high school. You know, the Los Buscametas that I formed, like that feeling of community and like understanding, just feeling safe with other people that understand you, you know, other undocumented students that come to Iowa State maybe didn't have that. And so that's why I started ISU Dreamers, so that we could form that community. And I also really wanted to, you know, form a scholarship fund, you know, because, you know, scholarships and, you know, financial aid is definitely something that holds back undocumented students because we're not able to fill out FAFSA, and that's a huge barrier when getting scholarships. And so, the main goal of ISU Dreamers is to form that community of people that understand you, and then I want them to know that, like, I want them to understand exactly how they fit into Iowa State, right? And so even me, myself, right now, like, along with them, I am also learning exactly how my undocumented status fits into Iowa State systems. And, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, see exactly what that looks like.
Have you had a lot of students join you already?
Yeah, so right now we're, like, probably 12 students, and that's a lot more than I thought was going to join. Like, I was thinking, like, ooh, 5 students, that'll probably be enough. And we're definitely a lot bigger than I thought we would be. And now that, you know, Biden has won the presidency, I'm thinking that we'll be a bit more bold in our outreach, and we'll probably reach in more students, and we'll probably grow even bigger.
Of course, the Trump presidency has been an incredibly uncertain time for DACA recipients, for undocumented immigrants, and honestly, for documented immigrants as well. What does it feel like for you when you learned that Joe Biden had won the election, does that feel like it's something that will directly change your life?
Yes, 100%. The same feelings that I had in 2016, the same, like, you know, crying, I'm so, like, you know, devastated, that same devastated feeling that I had in 2016 when Trump won, I had that exact same, like, that emotional, I don't know, what's the word, you know, there were so many emotions that I had from Biden winning that I could, you know, I cried so much thinking, you know, things are going to be different now. Like, I feel immediately safer just knowing that Biden had won, like knowing that Trump's out of office, just with that, like, I knew things are going to be better. You know, for people like me, and, you know, like any undocumented immigrant in the United States, like, it, things are better now because Trump is out of office.
What does receiving this award mean to you?
This, you know, it's definitely a huge honor. Just having this work be acknowledged, I think the main thing that's really important to me from receiving this award is the fact that, you know, the fact that it's being publicized and the fact that there is some undocumented student out there, right, that's young, you know, they're younger than me, and they don't know if, you know, going to college is worth it, or, you know, they don't know if they can do it, or if these, you know, if, you know, these systems are, you know, they're not built for them, if they can, you know, navigate them in any way. And, you know, just having this being publicized and out there and knowing that that student is out there, it means a lot to me, the fact that they'll be able to see this and know that, you know, there are people out there just like them, you know, being successful, you know, finding success in these, you know, systems that aren't designed for them. And it just, I think that's definitely like something that's extremely meaningful to me, just having, you know, that student out there be able to look up to me.
David, thank you so much for talking with me, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
David Paco Pena Medina. He is the recipient of the ACLU of Iowa's Robert Mannheimer Youth Advocacy Award. When he was in high school, he started a group called Los Busca Metas, the Goal Seekers, bringing together undocumented students. And now he's at Iowa State University. He's also the founder of the ISU Dreamers. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.